It's showtime, folks, and it feels so good to be back. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. I hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday. Is that what day it is?
I'm not sure I recognize this voice.
Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, and Dr. Crane Nick Frazier with you today.
You've been gone 15 days.
Well, I was on sabbatical to Thailand.
And then you went to we got your location. We saw you went to Machu Picchu. Is that right? Wherever that place is down in
South America, Machu Picchu.
Picchu.
Yes, I went on.
What did I say?
Went on top of a mountain and talked with the eagles. And,
who's Pikachu?
Not Don Henley, but you know the
right
Pikachu.
Yeah, and he
Pokemon.
Okay.
Yeah.
That shows you how cultured I am. I've never left the damn state of Tennessee. Can't pronounce.
By the way, I almost didn't come back though. Like I saw, you had who was it? Chris Gaines on yesterday.
Yes. Yep.
And somebody commented that Chase should take another week off so you can have more of Mike Organ's friends on. he's still got that bat cat.
He does, man. He's got all that. So welcome back. Oh, my gosh, 15 days. I thought you'd come back looking like Forrest Gump when he ran across the country with the big beard and just stopped running.
I shouldn't have cut all my hair off before vacation and then like come back with the beard and just like all disheveled.
Not only that, or the one from Castaway, 4 years later, he comes back and he's got the long beard. So next time when you come back, anyway, welcome back. Dr. Crane and the Forrest Company girls have held down the fort for a little bit.
So. Well, look, I've been on vacation, and then the last 2 days was at our Cromwell Media Managers meetings in the booming metropolis of Metropolis, Illinois.
Casino.
Yeah, there was a casino. Yeah. But I have kept... I've kept an eye and an ear on things.
Good.
So it wasn't so much that when the cat's away, the mice will play. Like I knew some things going on, and but appreciate everybody and for holding it down across all the shows. People, I got a few messages. Stillman's been gone for longer than I have now, and people have asked, did he leave? No, he's taking some time off. He'll be back on Monday.
Well, like anything else, when football season starts,
we don't have a big window of vacation in sports radio. So.
Well, you figure about it. I mean, the Titans start late July, and the Preds hopefully run through May. Yeah. So you try to get everything done in that time, which is fine. So anyway, it's a good day, man. It's glad to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. And look, the exciting thing is, I believe it is a week from today that the Two-Tone report over at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park.
It is. That is accurate. They report and we get – this would be what they first – I consider, the Titans of 99. I consider 97 when they showed up here. I know they didn't play here, but still to me that's when they arrived in town, 97, 98, the Oilers. And, of course, 99, the Titans. Still the same franchise. And then – so this will be training camp – 97 to 24, the 28th training camp coming up. 28 training camps already.
That's the first practice. So Tuesday they will be, Brian Callahan will do his back-to-school thing, his first one, going into his first training camp, and then they're on the field for the first practice, official practice of the Brian Callahan era the next day, I guess.
Crazy.
So it's just crazy to
It seems like
that
yesterday that
here.
They were shoving Mike Vrabel out the door, and now here we are.
I know. But so we're excited about all that. I know SEC Media Day is going on in Dallas. Been kind of keeping up with things there. You know what's funny? And maybe it's because I'm coming off vacation and, I was at our meetings, and so I had to pay attention to that. I haven't had the same hype and, been fired up about SEC Media Days like I usually would be.
I think they need to cancel them. I think it's done. There's nothing.
Jump the shark.
There's nothing coming out.
I think they need to do like the Pac-12. Like props to the Pac-12. Basically, just had like a happy hour.
Yeah, right.
And we're like, look, there's two teams. Come get drunk with us.
I like that. We're learning. Dr. Crane and I were going over these clips yesterday and the ones today. And there's really nothing that stands out, right?
I mean they don't say anything. And like you don't have Saban's there with ESPN and the SEC Network,
right?
I guess. But. And it's not like he ever said anything, but you paid attention because he'd get pissy about something, and so then that'd give you, something to talk about.
Right.
Love Clark Lee, he's not going to say a whole lot, you know, that's going to get national attention necessarily. Josh Heupel, it's the same thing. Now, back in the day, you know, you had Spurrier, and Spurrier would always – you're like, Spurrier would always stir it up. There'd be something that Steve Spurrier would say
right.
that would get people talking and get attention. But I don't feel like – and I know the big news is, you know, Texas and Oklahoma and all that, but it's like I don't feel like they have the same personalities that they used to.
There is, and we went through the clips. There's nothing that stands out, right, Dr. Crane? I mean, listen to all those clips.
Like
there's
Kirby was
like,
kind of
meh,
you know.
Right, there's nothing's like, oh, my gosh, let's call it. Nothing. There was nothing from these days. No. Right? We listen to the Clark Lee thing. God bless him. But here's what I want. I want a coach to go to SC Media Days and say, hey, coach, how's it going? He's like, I have the worst team on the planet. I got guys.
We're not going to win a damn game.
I got guys who couldn't play dead in a cowboy movie. I got coaches who are terrible, who are stupid. I'm gonna be out of a job in December. This team sucks, and it's my fault. I want a coach to come out and say that, and no coach will ever say that, never do that. But to stand up there and say how great your season is going to be when, you know, God bless Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. They're just not good this year. So I think, and I'm with you, Chase, happy hour. SEC Media Days, everybody shows up, has a happy hour, has a good time, kind of, you know, slap on the backs. Hey, what have you been up to, you crazy bastard? All right, and then going your way. And that's it. That's what we need. I'm happy with that. But SEC Media Days or nubs. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Run the course.
There's just, like, there's so much now that – there's not really much going on, I should say. But, I mean, you know, like for us to kind of look forward to Titans camp and all of that. And I was like, okay, somebody get up there and say something stupid. I just like, and I know there's still, has Kiffin spoken yet?
Yeah, Monday did nothing.
Okay.
He was really, I
probably
actually
talked about his dad.
Yep.
A lot.
And how he appreciates Nick Saban for giving him a second chance. And that's fine, man. But I just think there's not there anymore. I think it's just a big party for the media to go and hang out. And after that, there's really nothing that goes on. And but, yeah, it's just not – I don't know. It was fun when we went. We had a good time. We had great questions, great interviews. And now it's all sort of just calculated, and it's not good.
I feel like this is what is. Well, you know, look, we haven't done anything yet. This is Kirby Smart. We haven't done anything yet. And, you know, I told our guys that, you know, the work's just now beginning. You know, we got to get to work. The work's just now beginning.
I got a question.
Georgia Bulldogs.
And you're Kirby, and I'm after the text I sent you last night, you're Kirby and I'm a reporter. Hey, Kirby, any chance we could talk to the assistant coaches about how things are going?
No.
Oh, yes.
But that's such a Saban thing, I would think. I mean, I don't remember – maybe – well, Kirby did an event with us when he was D.C. at Alabama. Remember, we did the sports festival, and Kirby – I think you were the MC of it, maybe. I can't remember.
Was that 2014?
It was his last
2015, because 2016 is his first year at Georgia.
It was – I think it was his second to last year at Alabama.
So 14 or 15 right now.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
What happened to the guy that guarded Tim Tebow?
Oh, yeah.
We had an event. We did a sports event years ago, and Tim Tebow was there. And so the powers to be at 102.5 assigned one guy to kind of be Tim Tebow's right-hand man and guarded him.
Well, there's a little more to that, but yes.
Guarded him like Tebow was Michael Jordan, and he was trying to shut Michael Jordan down, not give him 5 points in a game. Woo!
he was – I want to make a joke, but it's not an appropriate one right now. But he was, like, the SEC Network was just launching, right? And so they brought Tim Tebow, Paul Feinbaum, Marcus Spears, and I want to say there was somebody else, you know, as a part, you know, to kind of speak and promote the SEC Network. And maybe it was McElroy. I think McElroy might have been the other one. But anyway, so they're trying to promote the network and all of that stuff. And there was a member of the PR team at the time that was not pleasant to work with and was basically like, nobody gets near him, no pictures, like nothing like that.
Right.
And so they had asked, like, hey, can you have some people kind of act as not security, but just a buffer, you know, like just to help with that. So we got one of our interns to do that, who took the role very seriously. I mean, like,
oh my God, he did.
Like, just thought he was, you know, protecting, like, somebody big.
Yeah, we're not
bigger than Tim Tebow.
Right.
You know what I'm
Yes.
Like, I can't, you know.
Yeah, anyway. Right.
So he, I mean, it was like, I like there was one time that he like looked at someone and did the like point of the eyes and like pointed back like, I got eyes on you. Like,
oh my God, that's great.
And then the best part was a member of our staff goes up to Tebow and asks for a picture and gets a picture. So that makes all hell break.
Yeah, right. So he told me he had to go to the bathroom. He's like, hey, can you stand here for a minute? Because I go to the bathroom. I don't want nobody in. I was like, yeah, sure. So he goes to the bathroom. And I just walk off. I just wander off. All right, I got our question of the day.
All right, hit me.
All right, our question. Dr. Crane, you weigh in this too as well. All right, all right. I know there's the Republican convention, the Democratic convention coming down the pike and all that. If you were running for president, okay, what coach would you pick as your vice president? You have Ooh. To be, you can, you don't have to be coach. Like, you could pick Vrabel if you want to. It could be your high school coach. It could be a basket. It doesn't matter what kind of, just a coach. What coach would you have as your vice president? And I've got one in mind I've had for years. He'd be, because he would go into a meeting and just make people feel uncomfortable and get the job done and would not care if you like him or not. And I'll reveal that after the break.
Dead
so that's
alive?
Our question.
Dead or alive?
Has to be alive.
Okay.
You know, you can't do a weekend at
Bernie's. Can be retired.
Retired. As okay. long they're a coach. They can, as long as they're alive, who would you pick as your vice president if they were a coach? Who would you pick? That's our question. 615-737-1025.
And we have a text line, which I know we've worked diligently on. So that is back in the saddle, and I'm back in the saddle. John McClain going to join us at 9:30 as he does every Wednesday as camps get ready to open. Around the league. It's the Chase and Big Joe show. Chase McKay back with you. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Guess who just got back today? I am back. Chase and Big Joe broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Of course, you can weigh in on anything we're talking about, including our question of the day, at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line, driven by WilsonKennyHoney.com. So your question is, what coach, if you're running for president, what coach would you – college football coach or
– No, any coach. Basketball, baseball, any coach that you've encountered, that you've enjoyed, that you like to be your running mate. Who this? You know, let's have fun with it. Who would be the one coach that – you know, your VP goes in, just kind of does things that – the president, it's like number two. You know, they, yeah. You know, you just go in there and take care of that, you know?
Right. Man, this is a good one. A couple of ones on the text line. Mike Tomlin has gotten a vote.
I can see that.
Josh from Jackson, Tony Vitello.
Why Tony? Josh,
yeah,
text
give me,
back.
Give me more.
A little context there on Tony.
Marlin in Murfreesboro, I'd pick Coach Saban. I've heard he'll have the government running like a Chick-fil-A drive-thru in 2 weeks.
That'd be amazing, right? That'd be fantastic.
So does everybody say my pleasure when, you say, yeah. when you say thank you?
Or if me, he'd probably be like, get out of here.
Man, I don't know. This is a tough question.
You could be like, you're a big Barry Trotz fan. Well, Barry's Canadian. Too bad, Barry.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna go a little bit of a different direction than maybe you
sure.
would have thought. Greg Popovich.
Okay.
Because he would not put up with the BS. He's my BS meter.
All right. You'd send him in, take yeah. care of things.
Yeah, and like he'd get up and do a press conference and basically say, like, I hate all of you and I don't want to be here.
Go in and get it done. All right, that's a good one.
So I'm gonna go Pop.
I'm Coach taking Pop. I'm taking Will Muschamp. I know he's out of the game. He's not coaching for, you know, on the field so
How's
much
he doing?
Anymore. He's doing well. He's doing quite well. Will Muschamp, tight friend with all of us. I'd get him because he really doesn't care what you think.
No.
And he'd go in and make you do your job better and would call you out. And that would yeah. be that's what you want, somebody like that, you know? Or that's the somebody that I would need beside me, that kind of guy.
Hair Metal Henry says, I don't know if Larry David was ever a coach, but that's who I'm picking.
He's not a coach. It's a good one, though.
What? Wes in Clarksville, Chase, did you get to massage Roger's Achilles while meditating on your vacation? No, I did not.
That's weird.
That is weird, Wes. Think that was funnier in your head. Patrick says, great question, and my VP would be Bill Parcells. He doesn't care what you think, just results. Welcome back, Chase. Best show on radio. Thanks, Patrick.
That is Bill Parcells. That's okay. It's out of the box. I like another must-champ kind of guy, Mike Tomlin, who doesn't care about if you the love and adoration, just getting the job done.
Can I say, too, like, because, again, like, I say BS. I'm worried after being off for 2 weeks that my filter is off. So I'm worried about
Dr. Crane. Get that you got me
button buttons ready to go.
Tom and I, again, we said they need to be alive, but this would have been a good one. Billy Martin, that would have been a really good, yeah. Billy Martin would have been fantastic.
Oh, Billy Martin would have probably fought you and fought everybody else. Yeah,
Bob Green.
Who's Bob Green?
I don't know who Bob Green is.
Bob Green,
Mike Leach, RIP. Leach would have been fantastic. That would have been my answer, probably.
Yeah.
Had he still been alive.
It'd be like, where is he? And you go out on the White House lawn, and he's out back just having a beer.
Text of the day, Scott in Hendersonville. Anybody but Philip Fulmer, because he'd find a way to boot me and become president himself.
Oh, that is fantastic. That is fantastic.
He'd give you a...
Well done.
He'd make sure you have heart issues and then say you're a drunk.
Well done. Oh, who was that again?
Scott Henderson.
Scott, you are the man. That's going to be almost impossible to top. Thank you.
Bud on our text line says, Boots Donnelly.
Oh.
That'd be, hey, there you go.
Yeah, the Boots back in the day, man. That was, he's a hell of a man.
Austin also said Mike Leach. Austin was also the one during Robbie and Rex Road. Any more news on the Simmons and Diggs front? Like, yeah. I know you guys get special info, but... Matt says Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz, I mean, real quick story. Lou Holtz came and spoke. All right, my coach in junior college was Lou Holtz's first quarterback at William & Mary. And Lou was at Notre Dame, and Lou spoke to us before the camp season started. Amazing. He is so tiny. I'm telling you. If those who have met Lou Holtz, he's this magnificent coach and figure, so tiny, and gave – an amazing, fired-up speech. If you can see Lou Holtz anywhere, go hear him talk. It was great.
I'd love to hear him, hear him speak. Let's see. Lenny says Deion Sanders.
No.
It's there.
That's right. I can react, though. No.
Again, no longer with us, but a good choice. Michael in Lebanon, Pat Summitt.
Of course.
Yeah.
That might be number one if she was still with us. Yeah.
Let's see, Josh from Jackson. Dan Campbell would be a good one. He doesn't put up with BS.
You see him. I mean, he'd be throwing stuff at the press in the press room. It'd be, but then he'd make some stupid decisions.
As long as he's the VP.
Like. Yeah, right? Somebody needs to overrule him for the most part, but Dan Campbell would be a nice VP.
Look up the best of Bob Green on YouTube. Former Montana Tech coach. Incredible quotes every time he speaks.
Yeah.
I know you're talking about.
He's been there a long time. Yeah, they did a feature on him not too long on ESPN. Okay, thank you.
Brian said, I would pick Bruce Boudreau if I could. He's Canadian. His press conferences would be a riot. Get the F-bomb counter ready.
Well, maybe he could be press secretary.
Yeah. But
yeah. Yeah, you Canadians, stay away.
Darren and Donaldson, Rick Pitino, perfect politician. He'd fit right in.
He would. We'll pass on Rick, but good. But not. Thanks for texting in.
Wes in Clarksville, who said, they said you were off where Rodgers goes to be alone. Yeah, I didn't see Aaron on my vacation.
Oh,
we go to different parts of the islands.
So. Okay.
He also says Chris Sanders. He always has something positive to say.
We love Chris. No, we're not letting Chris Sanders go.
No,
not at all.
He'll stay here. Joe Gibbs. He's done the thing in two sports. Why not?
Joe Gibbs would be
championship.
I think Joe Gibbs wouldn't work because he is so dynamic in everything that he does, and such a nice guy that he ended up probably letting him down and feel terrible about it.
Let's see. Anthony, prime time because he doesn't care. We don't need any more of that don't care.
Oh, he cares.
Oh, he cares. He
reads everything. He is. Listen, folks, when an athlete or coach tell you they don't read the paper, don't listen to the radio, know that's 100% garbage because they all listen.
another one, and this one actually could come true one day. You never know. Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah, I mean, he's
a senator or
senator from Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's rustling some people up there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you never know.
Hair Metal Henry says, actually, I would pick Jim Morris Sr. We couldn't lower taxes. We didn't try to lower taxes. We didn't pass immigration. We couldn't do diddly poo.
That's what he said. Jim Morris?
Jim Mora.
Jim Mora. Okay. Jim Mora. I was like, who's Jim Mora? All right, yeah, it's a good one. Is Jim Mora still alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Senior?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. See, if you say that in a hushed tone, you don't feel like an idiot.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, Richard Simmons
passed
away. I kind of hate this, but I kind of thought he already had.
Same thing with Dr. Ruth.
Yeah.
Dr. Ruth passed
away.
She
passed away?
Yeah. Jeez. I thought she died 20 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So. Somebody said that she, I don't know if I should say this or not. I won't. I'll hold it to the break.
Yeah,
Dr. Ruth.
Yeah, you probably.
If you have a pause in your head, just don't do that.
Dylan Spurrier for the one-liners.
That'd be good. But he's a quitter. So Chase knows how I feel about Spurrier. He's a quitter. He quit on South Carolina.
Jarrett from Clarksville, former Austin Peay head coach Scotty Walden.
Now at UTEP. He's a good coach.
Yep. Mike Ditka.
Loved. That was my number one, but I can't. I mean, I at some point, you got to let that VP go. And so I can never fire Ditka.
Ty from Camden, Urban Meyer.
Oh, God. He'd retired some more time with his family. Then next thing you know, he's on the other ticket a month later. Hey, what are you doing on Chase's ticket? You just left my ticket. Now he's your VP.
Steve Kerr.
Okay.
Coach with Golden State Warriors, much international experience, and his father was an ambassador.
His father was killed.
Before he was assassinated. Yeah.
That's an awful, awful, awful story.
Yep. Kirk Gibson.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I told you Kirk Gibson.
He's like a hitting coach now. I think he
is. I think so. Yeah. The Kirk Gibson story in 88, went with the Dodgers, his first training camp there, and they put some kind of Vaseline in his ball cap to mess with him, and he put it on, and he exploded. He wanted to fight everybody. I think Oral Hershiser said, we knew right then we were going to win the World Series because the way he brought the pissed off anger,
yeah,
we knew that he was going to do it.
Michael wants to answer our question on the phone line. Michael, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was going to say Mike Leach just because whenever he gets talking, you could ask him, oh, what are your, it's like, what are y'all going to do about immigration? He'd go off on some rabbit hole tangent that you wouldn't be able to understand where, how he got there. But at the end of it, you're going to say, oh, that kind of makes sense. I understand what he's saying, even if it makes absolutely no clue about what the actual topic he was asked about. But since that's been already said, I'm going to say Tony Dungy, since he's still alive, and I just think Tony Dungy's a real good guy. I think he'd be a really nice, soft-spoken voice to help on a campaign trail.
That's a pretty good one. Thank you, brother. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Thank you, Michael. We'll keep these coming throughout the day, 615-737-1025. But coming up next, John McClain going to join us. We'll talk some NFL with him. Here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I see the music hasn't changed, and I love that.
Well, you're
it's
back.
It's a great song.
They're in concert tonight in Franklin at First Bank Amphitheater.
Are they really?
You're back today, so it's kind of easy back in step by step, and you love Donnie Wahlberg. So it all works out perfectly.
I didn't know they were here tonight.
Two nights. They played last night and tonight. But here's the deal. I'm not sitting in 1,000-degree heat to see them. I love them. They were great when they were 2 years ago. Paula Abdul and Jazzy Jeff are with them.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's pretty cool. Now we talk some football with our man John McClain, who is on the line with us from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guy. I'm a big Donnie Wahlberg fan, but not because of music, because of Blue Bloods, which has been on for 14 years, and CBS is dumping it, even though it's one of the highest rated shows because it just got too expensive. And it's amazing, after watching him all those years as an actor, as a cop, a hard-boiled New York detective, seeing him out there on the dance floor, rekindling those moves from 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's been on 14 years. a fantastic show. So we're basically, it's here, John, as training camps will start to open over the next week. You got, you know, some that are going to be reporting with rookies and all of that. Titans are going to be next week. What's kind of the pulse there in Houston right now with anticipation going into year two of this new era with C.J. Stroud at quarterback?
Texans start training camp tomorrow. The Bears and the Texans, the only ones that have everybody in because they play the Hall of Fame game. Some teams have rookies in. But the team itself, you know, they act like, as they should. Last year didn't happen. We're starting from scratch. You know, nobody cares what we did last year outside the organization, but the fact is people are fired up. You can't go anywhere where they're not fired up. And even though people here are fired up, they understand how tough the division is. They know the Texans went from last to first last season, playing a last-place schedule. Now they're playing a first-place schedule that is just brutal. I've never seen a tougher one in Houston, and especially an array of great quarterbacks. So people understand that. Nationally, I see people talking about them being, you know, Super Bowl contenders. I don't see it. You know, they'd love to be a Super Bowl contender because every team would love to be a Super Bowl contender. And every coach of a last-place team, like Brian Callahan, they're using the Texans as an example of what can happen. You can go from worst to first if you do what you're supposed to do and you stay relatively healthy, and you have to get a good performance from your quarterback. And I think Will's situation there, a lot of people are talking about Anthony Richardson, and they should. But the quarterback situation under Brian Callahan is, to me, one of the most interesting in the league, because the AFC South has a chance to have really good quarterbacks from top to bottom and all young. You know, Trevor Lawrence is the old man of the group. And so I'm really fired up about watching these quarterbacks develop and seeing what they've done around him. And Stroud, boy, it's tough because of the expectations people are putting on him. And he'll, when he talks to us tomorrow, he will temper everything because that's just the way he is. But they made a lot of changes here, brought in 14 defensive free agents, signed or drafted 5 defensive players, re-signed 5 of their defensive players. So that's 24 because they know on that side of the ball, they're going to get bombarded by quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, Caleb Williams. I think they're going to see Caleb Williams. Maybe J.J. McCarthy. It's early in the year, though. Could be Sam Darnold and later Drake May. I'm eager to see those guys as well. Plus, all the AFC South teams. I think a lot of people around the league don't realize how competitive the division was last year. You know, one game separated the top 3 teams, and it could be like that again. I think the Titans will be improved. Maybe they'll go from worst to first. If not, I know they'll be better. Probably injuries will tell the tale about who finishes where. But, boy, it's a great time. This is my 48th. Training camp, and every year I tell people, I'm like, I used to be in school the first day of school because you always want to go see who's in your class and who your teacher is. And there's an excitement as you go to school, and that's the way I am right now.
John, we're talking a lot of SEC media days up in Dallas in your state of Texas right now. I know the NFL does it, have their owner meetings and all that go on. Would it ever work where they did a media day in the NFL, one certain location, you're bringing 2 players, offense, defense, to one place, and that, you know, if you wanted to talk to the Seattle guys, you could, and, you know, maybe because you can't during the year. Would that work, or is that just a bunch of nonsense?
No, that wouldn't work in the NFL. Players are off. You know, you'd have to pay them. That'd be a violation of salary cap. The league meetings, which are in a resort every year, not stuck in a pit like Dallas, they stay at fancy resorts. And, by the way, I thought it was hilarious. Nick Saban not losing his credential, forgetting his credential, but shooting down all the talk about Texas will run the SEC. And I'm like, yeah, you just wait. Why are the SEC media days in Dallas?
Right.
The Longhorns wanted them there. And I saw a thing last night, and I don't know if it's true, that Elon Musk might be providing the Longhorns with some NIL money, like Phil Knight does at Oregon. And the Longhorns already have more money than God. You know, how many teams, when players, recruits get off the bus, walk a gauntlet of Lamborghinis like they did? And so you just remember, Nebraska left the Big 12 because they didn't want to be run by the Longhorns. A&M left because they didn't like the Longhorn network and thought it would be an unfair recruiting advantage. Plus, they wanted to get out from under their shadow, which is one reason A&M did not want Texas in the SEC. And it'll be a slow process. But Texas is the 800-pound gorilla that sits where it wants. It has nothing to do with the performance on the field. It has to do with money, political influence in Washington. And so you guys just remember where you heard that first.
Absolutely will. You mentioned this is your 48th training camp coming up. Are you kind of surprised now there are no more holdouts? And with that being said, what's the most contentious holdout you ever covered covering the Oilers/Titans?
Well, used to, when the collective bargaining agreement was different, the Oilers would have players hold out till the trading deadline in October, and they would get signed or they'd be traded because they wouldn't pay the guys what they wanted. Alonzo Highsmith, the fullback, third overall pick in 87, he was who now is an executive with the Patriots. Alonzo held out, and they went right up to the trade deadline. And his agent, the late Robert Fraley, who died on the plane crash with golfer Payne Stewart, they came in for one last talk before they got it done. They drafted Jim Everett, quarterback, in 86, even though they had Warren Moon. And it turned out to be a stroke of genius. Everybody thought, well, they must be unhappy with Warren Moon. No, they couldn't get the trade offers they wanted before the draft, even though they had two or three teams interested. So they went ahead and drafted him. They went up to the trade deadline. He and his agent, Marvin, I forgot Marvin's last name, most famous agent out there.
Demoff.
They came in here, went to Bud's office. We staked it out for almost 24 hours before they came, and he'd been traded to the Rams in a deal that brought them, I think, eight players eventually. Wow. And helped them go to the playoffs 7 years in a row. And I've seen some really, really ugly ones. And one offensive tackle, Harvey Salem, who was the first pick in the second round in 1983. Bruce Matthews was the first pick. He didn't like the money, so he told the general manager, who was very vindictive, Ladd Herzig, would you please trade me to the West Coast, where he was from? And so I was doing stories with Harvey blasting the general manager, Ladd Herzig. Now, they were really good stories, and I probably should have told him, you're going to get screwed for doing this, but I was more interested in the stories. So at the trading deadline, he called Harvey Salem into his office, said, well, Harvey, I've granted your wish. You've been traded. And he goes, oh, where? Raiders, Rams, Chargers, Seahawks? No, the Lions. He goes, Detroit? Why would you trade Detroit? And he said, almost every day you've been bleeping me in the Chronicle. And so I'm bleeping you. Now get the hell out of my office.
Yes.
And he went to Detroit.
That's a fantastic story, John. Do we still have John?
I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Okay. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next as we preview training camps around the league. It's the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Here on this Wednesday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. So, John, you've mentioned you're going into your 48th training camp, and you know you've told stories about players and interactions with them. You know, with X or Twitter now, you know, it gives them an opportunity to express themselves. And I found some comments a few days ago from Jeffrey Simmons a little interesting. And I guess it was after the Titans had signed Jamal Adams, and you know, people giving their opinion on that and facts on him that you know, he's missed the majority, you know, a lot of games with injury and all of that. Jeffrey Simmons tweets, I just be seeing a lot of tweets and hit that bookmark. How do some of you guys cover us, the Titans, but hate us so much? He goes on to say, I mean, they're at every game, home and away, all in the locker room, smiling, trying to make friends with the guys, but then they get on here and hit a 360. What are kind of your thoughts on that? I think facts were given. Jamal Adams has missed a lot of games. That's a concern. But Jeffrey Simmons takes it in a completely different direction.
Well, he was a disappointment. Seattle, they gave up two number one picks for him.
Yeah.
And he's got enormous talent. He needs to stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, he can be a really good player. You know, I think for them signing him, it was worth it. You know, you're not paying him anything now except for money that you gave him up front. So a lot of players need to have their own ways to be motivated. Jeffrey Simmons has been treated like royalty by the media there. I guess he forgot that. I've never seen anything negative about him anywhere, really, since he came to the NFL, and they took such a big chance on him, and he's rewarded the faith that the organization has in him. But you know what? Nobody's ever going to go up if Adams gets hurt again, say, see? You know, you have to present the facts, and those are the facts. And if that helps him get motivated, and tell you what, they got a chance to have maybe the best defensive tackle tandem in the NFL. But players do that. I don't pay attention. I never look at one of the things I've done. I've been on Twitter for I can't remember how long. I think I got like 153,000 followers, and I never look at anything anybody has tweeted at me. And the reason is, the first day I got on it, this young guy was working with me, showed me how to get on it, and then he's looking and he's scrolling, he's going, oh, I said, what? He said, well, some of the comments, people, I said, what? He said, well, never mind. I said, no, what? What are they saying? And he goes, you really want to know? I said, yeah, well, how about this one? You're old, bald, fat, lazy, and you're a liar, and you need to retire. And I said, tweet him back and say, I said, I'm not a liar. And so from that point on, I never have looked at anything. But that's the way people communicate a lot today. I used to have players get mad at me all the time, especially Oilers, when it was so much more fun to cover a team where you could go in the locker room before practice, after practice, hang out, talk to the players about their families, their schools where they played. And if they didn't want to talk to you, then they wouldn't talk to you. But you got to know them really well. And I know a lot of those guys I covered really well now. And it was a lot of fun. But, boy, the papers were big back then. Newspapers are not what they used to be. Teams have their own website. Titans do a great job on their website. I don't know anybody that does a better job than Jim Wyatt. And so that they have different ways to get their news out than they used to, either because I'm older or I don't know. I haven't had a player say anything about me. A few times they got mad at something I tweeted, and that's the only way I know, but they never said anything to me.
Yeah, I just feel like there are times, and look, Jeffrey Simmons is a great player. Do I feel like he has another level to him? Absolutely. And the Titans need to hope that they see that this year. That's my opinion on him. But I feel like sometimes players nowadays, and Twitter has been a big part of this, they don't have as, or at least it doesn't appear as they have as thick a skin as they used to. And then the other part of that is, you were talking about, you know, asking guys about their families. That's how you are able to get a lot of information. You kind of get to know them on a personal level. You're not being their friend necessarily, but you're having friendly conversation. And I feel like sometimes people don't understand that that's a part of it.
Well, it's changed so much because you're limited in the time that you can be in a locker room, 45 minutes, and players are not in there the whole time. And usually, I've talked to Andre Johnson more in the first year after he retired than the 13 years I did when I covered him, because if I went up to him to try to talk to him, a crowd ran over there immediately. DeAndre Hopkins, to me, is one of the most interesting people I've ever met. And by the way, people should check out the book his mom has done, because her story is one of the most incredible I've ever seen, and his too. But, you know, you want to have a conversation, and they come in, and you maybe if you're standing at their locker, you might get like one sentence in before people come running over to do interviews. And so it's not, and I don't spend as much time going around talking to them as I used to, because the locker room has so many people in there. I don't want to take up somebody's time that's trying to do an interview and get in the way, just trying to get to know somebody.
John, I'd laugh because, you know, obviously Jeffrey Simmons did not do well in geometry, because 360 means a full turnaround. I was hoping he meant a 180 on that. John, what's the maddest a player or coach has ever been at you, probably for something you've written?
Oh, gosh. Earl Campbell, one time, I did something that I regretted immediately, and he didn't talk to me for 30 years. Now he does. And you never.
Whoa. What was it? Do you remember?
Embarrass a player in front of people. And I had written a lead that Earl had fumbled on. The Oilers won, and the Chargers won, and they lost. And that was my lead. And he came in, and then I was in there before practice, sitting on a bench in front of a wide receiver's locker, reading the Houston Post, my competition. And Earl came in and I remember he said, "I want to thank you for that thing you put in the paper today." And I didn't respond. And he walked by me, go to his locker, and he said it again. And so I did what I regretted. I said, "You mean that degree from the University of Texas in communications helped you to read, not just look at pictures?" And boy, the players, they go, "Ooh, ah," and all that. And I regretted it immediately. And so the next time we spoke, I think that was his next to last year here, but I would see him off and on. But the last we started speaking again around Bum Phillips's funeral. And then now I'm around Earl quite a bit for charitable functions here. But I learned right there, never, ever embarrass a player. You know, you pull them off to the side, you let them yell at you. I don't see that anymore. I used to see players really going off on media people in the locker room because they either something they heard on a talk show, but mainly things that they read.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, you know, John, one of my all-time favorite players in football was Jim Crash Jensen of the Dolphins. I you know, he didn't make the highlight reel every time, but he played for 10 years in the league, and he just loved him, and he had a great, great story. I know I don't mean to put you on the spot. What's the best story you think of a guy who made the team that has stuck with you, you know, all these years later? Somebody that had no chance, maybe an undrafted free agent. I know you've talked a lot about Blaine Bishop and his journey making the league. Is there somebody that stands out to you that you just really loved covering and was just a great guy in the locker room and was nice to you?
I saw him the other day. He's an investor here. Doug Dawson, who played at the University of Texas, was second round pick of the Cardinals in 83. And Doug blew out both of his Achilles twice. And he was from here, so he lived there. And I would see him at different events around town. Then he decided to make a comeback with the Oilers. And I'm walking off the field near the end of training camp when they're starting to make cuts. And I called him the longest of the long shots. And he walks up to me and says, "Let me tell you something. I'm Doug Dawson, and I'm going to make this team," and blah, 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 blah. And I said, "Well, I hope you do." And he said, "No, I'm not going to be a long shot." And so Doug made the team, and he's one of the funniest people I've ever known. He used to like to say he was a guard, and he played between Munchak. He played with it was Munchak and Matthews and Doug Dawson. And Doug will still say today, he'll say, "You know, me and Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews combined for 27 Pro Bowls." Well, he had none. And Doug had a huge gut. And when they were on the sideline and close to fans, like in Oakland, Munchak and Matthews said that the fans would yell so many funny things, ripping Doug because of his gut, they couldn't help but laugh. And if one of them turned to those fans and acknowledged that they could hear it, and one time Munchak did that, and of course the fans let Doug hear it even more.
I love it.
And so he was a guy, and the story on Blaine Bishop, I was playing golf with some coaches before the last roster cut. And Blaine was an eighth round pick because last year they had eight rounds of the draft. And I had written a story for the next day talking about on the bubble, long shots, not going to make it, secure. And I mentioned to the coaches afterward, I put that Blaine wasn't going to make it. And the DB coach, Tom Bettis, said, "Whoa, what'd you say?" I said, "Well, I have in the Chronicle my story tomorrow, Blaine Bishop, eighth round pick's not going to make it." He goes, "Oh, you better change that story." He said, "Not only is that kid going to make it, he could end up starting." And I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." So back then, you could go back because there was no internet and have plenty of time to change the story. So I rewrote it, and I confidently said, "Not only is this rookie from Ball State going to make the team, he's got a chance to start." And I looked really smart.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's awesome. John, we are looking forward to these conversations as we finally get into training camp and then the season. It is almost here. Enjoy training camp opening tomorrow for the Texans, and we'll talk next week.
I will, guys. Thank you very much as always, and good luck to the Titans starting camp next week.
Absolutely. He is John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. And, again, he is a part of the Chase and Big Joe show every Wednesday at 9:30, and we look forward to those conversations with him. Coming up next, we'll give some thoughts on it. We're still a week away for Titans training camp, but I heard Joe and Kuharsky talking about a couple of things that I have missed while I was on vacation. I want to give some thoughts on. We'll do that coming up next in hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.